Donovan, that heart, that moon hole acoustic.
Oh, that's right. Same, similar type of guitar. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, that was made by Tony Zamatis and Ronnie Wood in the Stones. The black guitar, the big silver disc on it. That was made by Tony Zamatis. I mean, I could go on and on. And
yeah.
Clapton had Ivan the Terrible.
But how did you get Ronnie Lane's guitar?
Well, I've always been a big fan of Ronnie Lane, and the Small Faces of Ronnie Lane particularly. I mean, I would describe his style as way ahead of his time. It's like English country.
I know. I totally agree with that term, actually.
Yeah. But anyway, I used to appear quite regularly at London venues and do a set of Ronnie Lane songs, and sometimes I'd bring in Glenn Matlock of the Sex Pistols or Steve Craddock of Paul Weller's band, or even members of Slim Chance, Ronnie's band.
Yep.
And anyway, Stan used to come to these things. He used to bring Ronnie's guitar then.
Stan being Ronnie Lane's
Stan
brother.
Stan Lane, Ronnie's brother, yes. And it was in a bit of a poor state, and I always used to say, God, that guitar should be played, really. And you know, for 10 years, I went on and on at him. If you ever decide to sell it, you know, I'd give it a good home, blah, blah, blah. And then one day, the day before we were due to go on holiday in the New Forest in England, Stan rang and he wanted to sell Ronnie's guitar. And he had a price in mind, and I had to the weekend until decide. This was like Friday. So I said, well, give me a minute, Stan. He said, well, I'm seeing Paul Weller on Sunday. I'm sure he'd have it. I said, well, give me till Saturday. So we went away on Friday, and my wife said, very understanding, dear Francine, said, well, if you sell some of your other guitars to pay for it, buy this one. So what I did was I went into bank while we were away, and I got a bank loan, and they said, oh, what's it for, you know, a new car or something? I said, no, it's a guitar. What? And I had it restored, and I played it for many, many years, probably, I don't know, 15 years, something like that. And I used to people used to come up and want their photograph taken with it. I played it at the Sidmouth Folk Festival. Been all over the place, and loads of people have played it. But, unfortunately, a couple of years ago, I needed to pay some bills. And being a musician, that's the sort of life cycle, isn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, you know what? I think, one, we're going to do a station ID right here. So stop for one moment. It's Atlantic Tunnel at WFMU Rock and Soul Radio. I'm your host, Edward Rogers. And I'm going to call you my co-host for today's show, Keith Smart, who's got more stories than I could ever lie. I just made that up. But you know what? Here's a good spot for us to play some Ronnie Lane songs. What do you think, Keith?
Go on, man.
Yeah, let's treat you. Here's a couple of actually Keith kind of turned me on to in a weird way. So here for our listeners, let's listen to a couple of Ronnie Lane tunes right now.
I've been using myself like only I can, but I understand that you understand, 'cause just for a moment I found across me. Everything is and there's nothing I'm missing. But just for the moment I found my bliss. just for a moment it came across me.
You be the only one living that means that to me.
I wish I was in Richmond. I wish I was back home. I'm waiting here in New York City. The rain is falling, there's no one cares, there's no one loves me here.
It's Atlantic Tunnel. It is Atlantic Tunnel, WFMU Rock and Soul Radio. I'm Edward Rogers, and my guest host is Keith Smart today from the St. John Wood's Affair. And those are four Ronnie Lane songs that both of us picked up, but mostly through Keith's kind of insistence to put them in there. And what a great flow of music. Richmond, from the Long Player 1971 album, by The Faces, of course. Anniversary, 1975, from the Ronnie Lane Slim Chance. And before that, Eddie's Dreaming by the Small Faces, one of my all-time favorite bands, 1967. I think it was a B-side of a single. And I always thought that Ronnie wrote that about me, actually. And thanks to Keith turning me on to Just for a Moment from the Mahoney's Last Stand, 1976, which is a Ronnie Wood and Ronnie Lane album. And you have some, you actually, Keith, played at the Royal Albert Hall Ronnie Lane Memorial Show on April 8th, 2004. I'm going to let you tell us who was on the bill, but you did play on that, right? What did you do?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not dreaming because it's actually out on DVD.
That's Eddie that's dreaming.
But I played Anniversary. What it was, Slim Chance reformed for the first time since Ronnie played with them, and they got in various guest vocalists, Pete Townsend, Paul Weller, Glenn Matlock, and little old me. I got to sing Anniversary. How cool is that?
And you got to know, just for our listeners, because we're all Anglophile fans, Pete Townsend, Ronnie Wood, Paul Weller, Ocean Colour Scene, Chris Farlow. I mean, that's just off the top, and I'm sure you could name another 20 people. But how did you feel? Also, the Royal Albert Hall is like, it's Carnegie Hall. I mean, were you nervous at all?
Not really. I mean, I kept my dressing room I shared with Glenn Matlock of the Pistols. I mean, I remember buying their album. I bought an early copy of their album, which came with a 7-inch single of Submission. And Mick Jones of the Clash was in there. So it was quite strange and surreal. I mean, I've done quite a few things with Glenn since then, because he's a big Ronnie Lane fan as well. Oh. He used to go and see Ronnie Lane.
Yeah, Yeah. Let me ask you, how did you get the show? How did you get the gig?
Well, because for years and years and years, being a fan of Ronnie's, I've played all round these various events in London, Small Faces conventions, and the chap that used to organise them, John Hellier, he invited me to sing one of the songs. I mean, even on the day, I couldn't quite believe it was going to happen. I was worried, oh, somebody else might say, because they want to play it, and they might chuck me off, because we rehearsed at a place called Music Bank, which I'm not used to. I don't know about you, Ed, but rehearsal studios normally smell of cigarettes.
Yes.
Cigarettes, beer, and wee-wee, for want of a better word. But this was a fantastic place in London that, I mean, I drove in there, and in the car park was Jeff Beck, and then Suggs from Madness. I don't know if you've heard of Madness in America.
Very little, but yes, I know who he is.
Yeah, he came over for a chat, and they had these huge rehearsal rooms that were like really, really lovely, and they rehearse West End shows there, and there's a TV show here called Jules Holland, which gets some great bands on. He rehearses his show there, and all around the corridors were these cages, and they had things like Manic Street Preachers written on them, and then they had all their guitar cases, and I came to another one, it said Peter Green. There we are. And all his guitars and things are in there. But yeah, I spent a couple of days rehearsing there. It was like a dream come true, but a couple of well-known people came up to me and said, oh, I wish I could play there. And I thought, God, if anyone finds out, they'll be kicking me off.
Yeah. Hey, you know, I just to go along with it, I think most of our friends listening are probably musicians or have been in rehearsal studios at one time. But I used to, like you were talking about, used to rehearse in a studio, I won't say where it was, but and it was all the things you talked about, the horrible sound, the piss, every 5 seconds you couldn't hear.
Keep it clean.
Yes, yes. So I went to the owner, and the owner said, you know what, I'm going to take you to the best studio we have, and it's rented by somebody else, and as long as he's not around, you can use it. And he took us to David Bowie's rehearsal studio. And we rehearsed there while he wasn't in town. And like you said, all his equipment was stored in the back. There was a living room, a toilet. So every time the door opened, of course, my heart went into my mouth because I thought, oh, it's going to be Bowie and we're going to get sued and he's going to scream.
Do you know what I thought you were going to say? The owner came over and said to me, I'm going to take you outside and give you a severe kicking, Ed.
Yes, yes. No, that didn't happen. Now, I'm going to move on, because we're going through your history a little bit here to get you up to the St. John's Wood affair. So, now, you also played with Nirvana. Tell me about how that came about, and tell our listeners what Nirvana, because over here Nirvana is an American grunge band, but in England,
a great grunge band,
but you know, you and I are masterful fans of the English Nirvana. So tell me how you got that gig.
Well, the English Nirvana, as you know, were going before Kurt was born, but they're a psychedelic 60s band. They had a big hit in the 60s with Rainbow Chaser, which still, if you get any compilation of psychedelic records, it's always on there, you know, along with 8 Miles High. But Patrick owned the record company that MI5 was signed to, so one day he asked the band to play in a session with him. And it was really, really good. We Patrick and I hit it off musically, not so much with Kevin, who we've stated in previous sentences wasn't the easiest person to get along with. Okay. So Patrick and I spoke the same language, really. And so he always used me for sessions after that, and I did loads of stuff with him. I mean, one of the sessions was eventually released on the Harvest label, which, for a Sid Barrett fan, Pink Floyd fan like me, I thought was fantastic. And that was The Hero I Might Have Been. It was just a put-together band with me on bass. I was booked to play bass. I was told to play G. Boom, 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 boom. But I managed to slip a few other notes in.
Okay.
In fact, on the B side, I played a bit of guitar as well. But anyway, that's besides the story. Yeah, Patrick used me a lot. And when Nirvana were recording in the studio, he always called me for guitaring. I mean, he still does. And
well, you're on the Orange and Blue album,
I'm on loads of albums
yeah.
of theirs.
Yeah.
But a lot of them uncredited. But the Orange and Blue album, I've got my photo on there.
Yeah.
Because when we played Felly Pop in Spain in 2004, that's a psychedelic rock festival, people were coming up and they recognised me from the cover. And I was standing next to Patrick, and I said to them, you ought to be asking Patrick for his autograph, not me. You know, he's the main man.
Yeah.
But, yeah, as you know, Think Like Key Records have recently reissued that album.
They have indeed.
Album.
And remastered it as well, so it sounds good.
It sounds so fresh now, yeah. I mean, I supplied lots of, as I told you, I'm a bit of a sad git, and at the end of the day, I always used to take home... what they call rough mixes of tracks. So I've got loads of stuff in my archive, and I photographed everything and videoed a lot of stuff as well.
You are, like I said, you're like most of, I think, our listeners, you're an avid collector as well as being a musician. So, I mean, it's like you could be Bill Wyman of the Stones, you know, who kept all the...
Bill Wyman of the Stones without the girls or the money.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes, and better looking. Now, let me ask you this. We're going to play some Nirvana material, but one of the... Well, you know what? We're just going to play some Nirvana material, and then we can talk about them, what they are afterwards, okay? Let me tell you who we are. We're Atlantic Tunnel here at WFMU Rock and Soul Radio, and as you can see, this gentleman is as you should have your own radio show, mate. Keith Smart from the St. John's Wood Affair. But we're gonna play some
new.
Yes, you've got it right. And we're gonna play some Nirvana tracks that well, you picked out. So let's see what our listeners think here,
okay,
right now.
Drive.
pearls where hung a silver locket. Therein she kept a faded picture of a boy so young and fair. And in a book of the war and peace, she hid his golden hair. Oh, show me the rainbow, give me the stars, I keep them for.
A stone in the water, a stone in the water, and I know I'm fine. I see, but I don't look at nothing, I don't look at nothing, but inside I'm free. So let the sun get inside you forever, inside you forever, and you'll see the colors of the light. Let the rain rolling over your head, let it shine in the air, and take it to the dream, and let the wind blow the shadows that burn you, the shadows that burn you, the shadows that burn you, and we'll be all.
spreads Blu-rays and Pentecostal gem sheds all its cobwebs. Explosion of the stars upon the sea in red, and all the guests at sea to water fireworks.
Those avid music collectors out there, what an amazing band. And it is WFMU Rock and Soul Radio. It is Atlantic Tunnel. I'm your host, Edward Rogers. And my guest host, Keith Smart from St. John's Wood Affair, is going to tell you just what you heard.
Hi, listeners. Yes, St. John's Wood Affair, that's a great track. It's quite wacky. And it's got unusual orchestration and instrumentation that appeals to my strange side. In fact, I used to joke with Patrick and Alex. I didn't call it rock and roll. I thought it was baroque and roll. And when they recently, a couple of years ago, put an album together, they asked various bands to do cover versions of Nirvana songs. So we chose St. John's Wood Affair because we love that track. It's not quite as mad as Patrick and Alex's version. It's got backward guitars and things, but we toned it down and reined it in a little bit for that. And The Hero I Might Have Been, that was a studio band that Patrick put together.
But they had a different name, didn't they? What was the name?
Yes, it's Erewhon. It's Nowhere, spelt backwards.
Oh, and, that's a really hard track to find.
It's fantastic. I mean, being an early Pink Floyd, Sid Barrett fan, it's on the Harvest record label, which I got a real buzz when it was released on that. Because some of my favourite albums are on there. And it was a great little band. It was me on bass playing G, the note of G, but I did manage to slip another few notes in. And it had Steve Bird on guitar, who's sadly no longer with us, Stuart Ross on keyboards, and I believe it was the drummer from Curved Air on drums, because Stuart knew the drummer. In fact, Stuart rang me one Thursday and said, Sonia Christians, who's the wife of Stuart Copeland,
right,
is putting a band together. And when we go to America on Monday, do you want to be in it? And I said, well, hang on a minute, it's only Thursday. And I was working in an office at the time, and in the end, I I chose against uprooting and leaving everything. And funny enough, I bumped into him at the King's Road, Chelsea, because he used to live at 414 King's Road, right next to the clock that goes backwards.
Oh, yeah.
I said to him, I thought you were supposed to be in New York today. He said, oh, it all fell through. I thought, God, I'm glad I didn't give up everything to got my job in and stuff.
That's rock and roll, baby.
Not off pop pickers.
Yes. Go ahead.
The next song he played was Stone in the Water, which was from the Nirvana Orange and Blue album, available on Think Like a Key Music, folks. And that's what I recorded with him in 1995, I think. Okay. And I love Alex's voice on that.
Yeah,
sounds
great,
so
vocals. Great
committed
vocals.
And I did a little twiddly guitar bit. It's very understated, but his singing on that is just out of this world, you know.
Yeah, he's still at it. He's great. And the first song, sir?
Pentecost Hotel, yeah, it's one of their classic songs. Played it many times for them when Patrick and I played at the Shepherd's Bush Empire. We did a version of that with a string section, and everybody was singing along. Everybody knows it. Yeah, it's such a great song.
I think it's, you know, it's funny. Everybody knows it there, but I think over here it's a real cult classic. America's a different world, you know. But, you know, I do have to say one thing. What's interesting about Patrick's work is even someone like Francois Hardy could take one of his songs and record it. I mean, it's just amazing. And then you can have, on the other side of the dial, the New Seekers taking a version of one of his songs and recording it. So
Francois Hardy did Tiny Goddess, didn't
that's
she?
That's correct. And so did the New Seekers, actually. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
So now, this is Atlantic Tidal. I'm your host, Edward Rogers. It's WFMU Rock and Soul Radio. Let's talk about St. John's Wood Affair, which is why Keith is here. Keith, how long has the band been going, mate?
Well, it started about 2000. What happened, I was contacted by a record company, and they were putting together an album, a tribute album, to Sky Saxon of the Seeds, and I'm a big Sky Saxon Seeds fan.
I played with them once.
Oh, no, really?
Yeah. At the Borderline, I think it was the last shows that he did in England, yeah.
Oh, well, I've collected quite a few albums. And in fact, on the wall, I've got a signed album from the Seeds, Red Planet. But anyway, I had to put a band together, really. So a keyboard player I knew, Anne Whittett, she got a drummer she knew, Carlton Jarvis, and I dragged in my wife, Francine, on backing vocals. And we've got another friend, John White, on bass. And we did these tracks. We did Entrance Way to Play. I don't know if you know that song, because everybody seems to know Pushing Too Hard. That's been in soundtracks and all sorts.
That's the hit, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I've sort of read things that Iggy Pop was really influenced by Sky Saxon and Jim Morrison. They used to sort of sit at the side of the stage. But anyway, these tracks went so well in 2000 that we decided this is all, you know, we hadn't met before in the studio, and it just went so well. We started recording other songs and sort of formed a band, and we were looking around for names. And I think Patrick Caroline said, oh, why don't you call it St. John's Wood Affair? I thought, yeah, that's great, yeah. Because as you probably know, whenever you think of a band's name, Google it these days, and there's about 12 other bands called that. So
yep.
I don't think there's another band called St. John's Wood Affair.
It's that Patrick even suggested that is amazing. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what? We should play. Let's play two tracks from the new album, and then let's chat some more. What do you think at this point?
Not off. All right, pop pickers.
All right. Here we are. Let's see. Our listeners might know the first track, because I've played this track a few times, and I know I've been playing your album. I really like the album. So let's see if they react. Here we go, here at Atlantic Tunnel.
I am you and you are me. I am you, why can't you see? I am you and you are me. I am you, why can't you see? A message on the breeze. Don't believe all that you hear. Write it
slipping,
slipping,
sliding,
sliding,
kaleidoscopes in your eyes. I am you and you are me. I am you, why can't you see? I am you and you are me. I am you, why can't you see? So there's no doubt. Don't you ever speak a word. Keep inside all that you've heard. You're running,
running.
You're hiding,
you're hiding.
You're slipping,
slipping.
Sliding,
sliding.
Kaleidoscopes in your eyes. I am you. We'll be right back.
I've got that alarm clock.
I'm glad you've got that alarm clock, sir. It's Atlantic Tunnel. It's Edward Rogers with my host, Keith Smart, from St. John's Wood Affair. And those are two tracks that he recorded. Why don't you tell us what they are, because you know it better than me, mate.
Well, listeners of WFMU, I'll tell you. That track, I Am You, a friend of mine called Pat Martin, he's got his own band called Unicorn.
Oh, I know them. They had an album out, what, 19... What, well, Dave Gilmour produced them, didn't he?
That's right. They were around in the 70s.
That's it. 76?
Yeah. They've just had their album reissued on Think Like a Key Records, folks. I said to Pat, I said, because our other bass player, John, had left. So I said to Pat, well, how do you fancy being bass player? So he came and did a few things with us. And he was driving by my house one day in the merry, merry month of May. It sounded like a song, didn't it? And he called in and said, I've just come up with a bass line, a very Macca sort of style bass line. And he came in and played it on the demo in my little studio here, well, in Surrey, and it sounded amazing, and he managed to recreate it in the studio. So if you listen to the bass playing on that, it's very McCartney-like. I love it, in fact.
It has definitely got a kind of a McCartney, Badfinger kind of vibe. You know, it's a laid-back pop song. It really does work. Yeah.
Well, I lived in the same road as Badfinger. I lived in Woodham Lane in New Hoare in Surrey. And Pete Ham was up the top. He died before I moved in there. And the bass player, Tom Evans, was down the other end.
Wow.
But, yeah.
And what about the other track, The Tripster?
The Tripster?
A little bit of a Door vibe there.
Yeah, I'm not much of a keyboard player, really. So on my original demo, I sort of played these three-finger triad chords. And I was going for a Door sort of feel. And then Anne took over, and it really goes down well live, that track. And of course, Francine does backing vocals and really belts them out, so it gets the crowd going.
Well, let me ask you this: you basically, when was that album put together? When was it recorded?
Well, the first two tracks, Entrance Way to Play, the cover, and the song I wrote for Sky. They were recorded in 2010, but after that we recorded a few more sort of over the year, and eventually we released it, or I released it, in 2016.
Now, was it an indie record at the time?
Yes, it was, yeah. I mean, it got good reviews and got plays and things and sold quite well. And then what happened last year, Roger from Think Like a Key Records, when he approached me about Nirvana and stuff from my archive, I sent him a copy of the album, and Roger's a really cool person. He sort of enjoys strange music, you know, and he said, yeah, we could do something with this, you know, and he reissued it with bonus tracks, and it was been remastered. I mean, it sounds really great.
Now, this is the first album you've had released in America, am I correct?
Yes, it is, yeah. I
mean, any chance of touring in any manner?
Well, we're busy recording another album at the moment, so maybe if we get some sort of sponsor, we'd go out and do a few shows. Love to come. I've only been to America once. That was in the 90s.
Oh, that's been a while. Where did you come when you were here? Where did you go? New York?
I went to New York, yeah.
What did you think of us?
I thought it was fantastic, and I think it was a very happening, and just like the song says, it doesn't sleep, does it? It just goes.
It does. It does now. It didn't then. Well, you know, it's kind of like when we go to London, we feel magic in the air because there's so much history of Anglophiles as we are. We're going to play two more tracks, and we've got some more things that we're going to talk and play. So stay with us here at Atlantic Tunnel. Here's two more from the St. John's Wood Affair album.
Everybody needs the sunshine.
cool as those two, is that song, and both those songs, Love, Light, and Peace, St. John's Wood Affair, and also Sky Forever, St. John's Wood Affair, all on the new album, or the first just released here. Sky Forever reminds me that you might have been listening to a little of Oasis.
Ah, I mean, I do like Oasis, and funny enough, I bumped into Noel in London a few times, and when he moved out of London, I bought his Flying V guitar, the one you see in Do You Know What I Mean video, and all the helicopters are buzzing them, but I've subsequently sold that, and can any listeners write in on a postcard? Why? That's right, WFMU listeners.
There
I have
you
to pay some bills.
The chat box is open if you want to comment.
Yep.
And let me ask you this. You finished this record. You've gotten some interest from a label. What's next? Is it going to be a new album?
Yeah, well, I mean, we've got lots and lots of songs that we play live, which go down a storm, you know, like Follow Me to the Stars, Magic Carpet Ride. And we haven't recorded those, so we're in the process now of doing the preparatory work, you know, recording the basic tracks, and with a view to hopefully Roger at Think Like a Keel will release something next year.
Great.
That's the idea.
Do you record in a studio, or do you do all your, like, a there's two ways of doing it these days, as you know with budget and money and that, you can do it in your bedroom or you can do it in a studio. How are you going to do this record?
Well, the album that's been released recently was recorded in a recording studio in Surrey, just around the corner from Paul Weller's.
Oh.
And it costs thousands and thousands of pounds. I'll never, ever...
Paul Weller's, isn't it? Or yours?
No, it wasn't Paul Weller's. It was around the corner from Paul's.
Okay, and still cost you thousands. Yeah,
same village. And, so some of the bonus tracks, the demos, I mean, I've got emails from all over the world saying, oh, we love the album, and we like the demos as well.
They sound great.
Some of the stuff I've recorded here has ended up on records and been released. So we're going to go for recording at my home rather than paying out loads of money.
Yep. Listen, if it's good, it's good. That's my vibe.
Yep.
You know, I mean, if you think of last week, I played some Joe Meek songs, and I thought all this has been played. Yeah, was recorded in his apartment, and it's still.
Yeah, I went to the unveiling of, we got things in London called blue plaques, when someone famous has lived somewhere, they put a blue plaque. I was invited to the unveiling of Joe Meek's blue plaque in his studio at Holloway Road, believe it or not.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, there was loads of old rock and rollers there. Because I think I mentioned off air to you, I played guitar once for Wee Willie Harris.
Yes, you did mention
rock and roller.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you've definitely been around, sir. Now, we're gonna switch gears a little bit here, because there's somebody that I am really a big fan of, which is Mark Bolan and T-Rex.
Yep.
And, the 16th, I think, was when, it was only a couple of days ago. September 16th, 1977 is when Mark passed away. And there was a memorial show in England this week that Tony Visconti put together.
Yeah.
And but I understand that you, sir, got a Mark Bolan Telecaster. You got to talk to me about that. How did that come about?
I did. Well, it was courtesy of Mike Oldfield, really.
Oh, wow. How did that all work out?
Well, to cut a long story,
make it shorter.
Mike decided to sell the Telecaster he used to record Tubular Bells, the album. It was the only electric guitar on the album. And it was advertised at an auction, but it was so strange. All the guitar collectors I knew never heard about it. So I contacted person direct selling it, and I made them an offer and ended up with it. And Mike sort of said, oh yeah, by the way, I got the guitar from Mark Bolan, and it's in all of his like biographies and autobiography. Mark was in the process of going electric from an acoustic duo, Tyrannosaurus Rex, and so he got this Telecaster, And Mark and Michael were both signed to NEMS agency. And one of the chaps at NEMS, when Mike was looking for a guitar, because he was playing bass with Kevin Ayers, and he got hold of this telly and used it to record Tubular Bells.
Now, what did Mark, do you know any of the tracks that Mark used it on?
I don't, and I doubt if he recorded with it, because the way Mike tells it in his book, Mark bought this Telecaster, or got hold of this Telecaster, and he didn't get on with it. Now, people that don't play guitar say, oh, what a stupid thing to say, yeah, but, I mean, I play guitar a very strange way, and some guitars I pick up, I think, oh, no, I can't be doing with this. I mean, for years I wanted a Hagstrom 12-string like Bowie used on Space Oddity. And when I got one, I found the fretboard was too wide for me, so I had to sell it. I enjoyed it. I mean, I used that guitar on a lot of the tracks on the St. John's Wood Affair album. In fact, on the original cover, you can see me holding that actual guitar.
So let me ask you right now, how many guitars do you have?
Oh, God, yes. You're sounding like my wife.
I'm not selling them. I just want to know how many, just roughly.
Not very many, really. I mean, they've always been tools of the trade for me. I'm not one of these people that keeps guitars in bank vaults or hangs them on walls. I've always used them, you know, and recorded with them, played live with them. There's no point otherwise.
Well, you know what's great though is that they get used. I think sometimes people just lock them in closets and they never get used and played out, and that's what they were made for, you know.
But I've got to tell you another guitar geek fact here.
Okay.
Mark Bolan had one of the first metal front guitars that Tony Zamatis made, first batch. They look like a Les Paul with a metal front on it,
right,
in case you don't know what a metal front is. And Tony's got all these stories about Mark coming round and his wife, June, how lovely she was. But do you know who owns that guitar now, Mark Bolan's metal front?
Tell me.
Paul McCartney.
Of course, Paul owns everything.
Yeah.
Every song, every guitar, every memorabilia of music. I mean, It figures.
He even owns Rupert the Bear.
Yeah. Well, he made a cartoon out of it, so you know that's the story.
Yeah.
Let's pay some respect to Mark at this point. And a couple of songs by David, too. David Bowie. Here at Atlantic Tunnel, I'm your host, Edward Rogers, WFMU Rock and Soul Radio.
You all right. You got the look of a girl I love. You alright, you got the look of a girl I love. You alright, you got the look of a man I know. You alright, you got the look of a man I know. Steady on, soldier, look what you're doing to my girl. Steady on, soldier, watch what you're doing to my girl. You alright, you got the look of a girl I love. You alright, you got the look of a girl in love. You alright, cause you got the face of a man I know. You alright, you got the face of a man I know. Steady on, soldier, watch what you're doing to my girl. Steady on, soldier, watch what you're doing to my girl. Do-do-do-do-do. Steady on, soldier, watch what you're doing to my girl.
Wonderful things he said. Wanted rabbit hat upon his head. He knew why people laughed and cried, why they lived and why they died. Shadows followed him around. He walked the woods without a single sound. Golden eagles at his door, cats and bats play on the floor. Silver sunlight in his eyes, he charms his magic from the eastern sky. Walking in the woods one day, I met a man who said he was a magic, wonderful thing he said. Pointed hat upon his head, scarlet flashing in his eyes, the wizard turned and melted in the sky.
Bye.
What a wonderful set. I just love those songs. Starting from the top, You've Got the Look, Mark Bolan. Electric Slim, man. Home Demo. Also in the center of the demo, Mark Bolan, Walking in the Woods. And we miss you, mate. You would be, what, 57 or somewhere, 77 around now? But we'd love to have heard the music we missed. Also, David Bowie, Prettiest Star, which Mark played guitar on. And as Keith pointed out to me, it was written about Angie, so I did not know that. She got a lot of songs written about her. And we concluded the set with David Bowie's, an earlier 60s version of London by Tata. Keith's got a story about Hank Marvin. Lay it on us, sir.
Great choice of songs, by the way. Yes, I've been writing for a Japanese guitar magazine called Player. I don't speak Japanese. I send them 6 pages and they translate it for me, and Hank was helping me out kindly with an article on a chap called Alan Rogan, who is a very famous roadie for George Harrison, or guitar tech, Pete Townsend, Ronnie Wood, and we've been chatting backwards and forwards. In fact, I do it the old-fashioned way, via letter, so I've got, being a sad git, that means I've got his autograph.
And didn't he sign one of your guitars?
Yeah, I sent him, I didn't want to turn into a 13-year-old fanboy, but I sent him a pickguard from my Fiesta Red Stratocaster, and he kindly signed that for me. But writing for Player's been quite good, because it means I can contact people like Albert Lee, the country player,
right.
Who I've also done an album with, but that's another story for another day.
Another day.
And, he's helped me out with articles I did on Gene Parsons, who invented the Parsons White String Bender, used on a lot of songs on, fits on the guitar, and he was in the Birds as well. That's one of America's greatest bands. I'm a big fan of the Byrds.
Are you talking about the American Byrds?
Of course, yeah. I mean, Ron Wood's Byrds are good, but I've always loved the Byrds. You know, Roger McGuinn, been lucky to meet him. He signed my Rickenbacker 12-string for me, which I no longer have, folks. Oh. But I've still got the signed pick guard, though, so that's all right.
That's all right. Well, listen, it's time for us to say cha-cha bye-bye. And, you know, so there's only one way we can do it, I think, this week.
I bet I know what it is. Yeah, I bet you're going to play a Rodgers and Button song, are you?
No. We're going to dedicate this one to Fall, finally. And one of the ultimate songs about Fall is Autumn Automatic by the Kinks. So we're going to go out with that song. Keith, man, you have been great. Thank you so much for your time and your stories. And we will be in contact, I'm sure. Any final words, sir?
Yeah, just the weird thing is, Pete Quaife, the bass player of the Kinks, I was given a load of his demos by his brother and asked to finish the songs off, which I haven't done yet.
Okay, another project for you to do. Here is the Kinks, Autumn Automatic. See you next week, guys.
From the deer-soaked hedge creeps a crawly caterpillar. Well, the dawn begins to crack. It's all part of my autumn almanac. Breeze blows leaves of a musty color yellow. Sweep them in my sack. Yes, 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 it's my autumn almanac. Friday evenings, people get together, hiding from the weather. Tea and toasted buttered currant buns can't compensate for lack of sun, because the summer's all gone. Sundays, all right. I go to Blackpool for my holiday. Sit in the open sunlight. This is my street, and I'm never gonna leave it. And I'm always gonna stay. Thank you.
today. I had the words to say, my speech was all planned out. Would you believe I had so much to say? I loved you every way, my mind was all made up. I wouldn't change my mind. I loved you more each day. I loved you more that way. But now it just can't last. Would you believe I had so much to say? I loved you every way. But now it's just the past.
Welcome to the new WFMU Rock and Soul Radio stream. I've got a lot of great music for you this hour. Enjoy the electric sounds of artificial intelligence.
Music! That's our middle name!
Look at me, I'm riding high. Don't know what's wrong with me. Can't you see, I'm not the guy that I pretend. But if I tried, you'd pass me by. I know that I can stay. Though I know I will be lonely, but a love will never die. I close my eyes every day. I close my eyes.